Stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool? Well, why can't you drive then? You can't even drive! Been great today, isn't it?
I'm here, sipping on my Nescafe Gold. And I think I've mostly recovered from my mucus cough or whatever the hell it was. I think it was bronchial. What do they call it? Bronchitis or whatever. Absolute pain in the ass. Anyway, Mr. D, how are you doing?
I'm doing perfectly well. You do sound quite a lot better, although I can still hear the lingering after effects of it, but hopefully you'll recover very soon.
Dee, can you drive?
Yeah.
Of course. I've just remembered you've got a Seinfeld like collection of cars. I just remember.
Yes, I drive terribly and far too fast.
In fact, now I'm imagining you with the classic kind of leather gloves and the goggles and Panama hat in the sidecar. All right, so welcome to another week. Welcome to the working week. I'm still ill.
Still ill?
Yeah, exactly. Smith's song. I forgot how it goes now, though. Still ill? For some reason, the version of Still Ill I remember is from that little, you know, the hat full of hollow. Is there an actual, a real version of that song?
I
know the one on there, I think. I think it's mainly on...
Hatful of Hollow is real. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like a proper album. It's a compilation.
But all their records are sort of like that. Many of them.
It's from a Peel session, that version.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's on the debut album. But for some reason, I'm more familiar with the...
Oh, it's got a harmonica at the beginning, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be watching some more public information films. Just at the start, I'll remind people to buy my courses. You can buy a mug if you wanted to. But most people tend to support me in other ways than buying mugs these days. I did have a look.
I've got a Black Dobbin mug that I need to put the finishing touches on. So.
Black Dobbin mug. join the channel. You can also pick up the audiobook version of Populist Illusion and various other things. Also, Dee, I bought myself, because I've noticed clicking in the background of... Do you remember there was infernal clicking in the background of UO last week?
Yeah, I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it, but I did see that many people were annoyed by that.
Well, yeah. I have bought myself a silent mouse. So you see, can you hear that? You can't hear that at all. Whereas this is my other mouse. So I'm going to use this clicky mouse that I've got to play games. And I'm going to use this one to do streaming. The reason I've got a clicky mouse is that I don't feel like I'm clicking a button if I can't hear it. Like the click, I think it's some psychological thing. If you've grown up using a clicky mouse, you're kind of used to it. I'm going to use this site. It's my streaming mouse now. So there we go.
Right.
Is there anything you would like to promote, sir, just before we get going?
Oh, I'd like to plug the gaping hole in my soul, is what I'd like to
plug. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, I had to finish that very quickly because I knew. I don't think I have anything to plug at the moment. Besides the wildly popular weekly program Unpopular Opinions, which is coming up tomorrow.
I will just say really quickly, is it just me, or are the images coming out of London of the Pride stuff really, really imperial? I mean, this, have you seen this?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
It's very, very kind of, you know, coming of the First Order. You know, it looks like if you had that as like a scene from, I don't know, the Empire in Star Wars or something, that's what it looked. I mean, it's really dark.
Well, the Crown Estate tweeted that out, I noticed. And
it's an extremely sinister picture.
Well, for me, it's also the fact that they are using the, you know, revision 827 of the flag of degeneracy and evil with that circle and the yellow triangle, and all it makes me think of is the all-seeing eye atop the pyramid, you know, that's on the back of the $1 bill that is so beloved of, you know, the sort of conspiracy theory types.
Yes.
You know, but there's something about that staring circle at the top, you know, that makes this even more sinister than the standard rainbow. Yeah.
I remember how it goes to now, still ill. So I decree today that life is simply taking and not giving.
And not giving.
England is mine. Owes me a living. Yeah. Ask me why and I'll spit in your eye.
Indeed.
Okay.
Charlemagne is asked, what is that circle? The circle apparently represents intersex persons.
Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Intersex persons.
Which is something like 0.003%. I don't know. It's absurdly low, I think.
Oh, it's disgusting. So, shall we watch Make Mine Freedom?
Yes, which
got the ball rolling. There's a straight line directly from this god-awful post-war propaganda video we're about to watch, and that street that we were looking
at. Yes, indeed there is. In fact, I would say that with many of these films, there you will see the thread that follows from one to the next to the next to that photograph. So,
yeah, the slippery slope is not a fallacy; it's literally just logic. If you believe in consequences or incentives, then the slippery slope follows as night follows after day.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
Shall we? So, I'm gonna say 1, 2, 3, and then play. Yeah, okay.
All right.
1, 2, 3, and I'm gonna have to get the.
Back up. You didn't say play. You just said 1, 2, 3, and then you hesitated.
Oh, sorry. Do you want me to say and play? I thought, I don't know.
I'll do it. When I say play, you push play, right. Okay?
Right.
This is what we're working with. This is what we're working with here. 3, 2, 1, play. There we go. Harding College. I don't know where Harding College is.
John Sutherland production.
America is many things to many people.
Is that loud enough for people?
17-year-old kid, it's the malt shop on the corner.
Oh, God.
Deep, knee-deep in subversion already. In the cool of the evening.
Video is too quiet for people.
Too quiet.
On Sunday morning. And to Dad, it's his favorite relaxation. It's the Cracker Barrel philosophers in Crabtree Corners. And it's the tycoons in Wall Street. It's all races, creeds, and religions.
Oh, no.
It's freedom to work at the job you like. Freedom of speech and to peaceably assemble. Freedom to own property.
Freedom to grill.
Security
and chill.
From unlawful search or seizure.
Where's your warrant, flatfoot?
Right to a speedy and public trial. Protection against cruel punishments and excessive fines. The right to vote. And to worship God in your own way. It is these freedoms that have made America strong.
Okay, okay, so we got our freedom. But management's lousing up everything.
Labor is at fault. It's ruining the country.
My constituents, as your elected representative, I can assure you labor's right. Management's right. I'm strictly neutral.
Labor, management, politicians, fooey. They can't tell corn from oats.
Work!
It's only taking money out of
hurry, 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 step right up, folks. Here's the answer to your problems, Dr. Utopia's sensational...
You get a sinister Italian character.
Ism yes. will cure any ailment of the body politic. It's terrific. It's tremendous. Once you swallow the contents of this bottle, you'll have the bountiful benefit of higher wages, shorter hours, and security. Enormous profits, no strikes. Remember, you're...
Was he selling? Is he selling communism?
Government control, no worry about votes. Name your own salary. Bigger crops, lower
ism.
Costs. Why, ism,
he's selling ism
makes the weather perfect every day. And now then, because we are introducing this amazing item for the first these time in this country, elixir. It isn't going to cost you 1 cent. All you have to do is sign this little scrap of paper, and you get your bottle absolutely free.
I hereby turn over to ISM Incorporated everything I have, including my freedom and the freedom of my children and my children's children, in return for which said ISM promises to take care of me forever.
Well, I think everyone signed that document very right away.
Pardon me. And so it came to pass.
And who are you, my
yeah.
good man?
I'm John Q. Public.
Ah, my fine friend, you're just in time to share this generous and gigantic offer. Sign right here.
Mind if I read it first?
Hurry up,
don't
now,
bother to read it.
Ah, no,
yes,
let me see it.
I was here first. Oh, let me see it.
Keep your shirts on, boys. You know, including my freedom.
Freedom?
Well, sign away my freedom. Why, this is ridiculous.
Don't be corny, brother.
Sure, our system of free enterprise isn't perfect. But before we throw it away for some imported double talk, let's turn the clock back a few years to see what it's done for us. For example, back in the 1890s, Joe Doakes was just a guy who liked to tinker around his barn. Some people thought Joe was lazy. Some even thought he was nuts. But one day, he had an idea. And because he was free to dream his dream...
I'm quite invested in this, Dee. Sorry not saying much. I'm emotionally invested.
...himself in his idea. So...
Oh! Yes, Joe.
Oh,
Joe Henry Ford
some
Doakes.
Some people didn't think so much of Joe's idea. But that didn't stop him.
Was this made by the Mises Institute? Was this my luck?
So Joe got some money from
ooh,
young Aunt
ooh,
Minnie.
Ooh.
Whoa.
And Uncle Angus.
Uncle Angus.
And Mr. Titus. When Joe's friends and relatives used their savings to help him buy tools and property, they were capitalists. Don't blush, folks. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Now, naturally, Joe needed some help.
I mean, they had savings.
So he hired Willie Lumpkin, who was out of work anyway.
That was an
and
interest
before
rate.
Before long, Willie had
right.
the know-how and became skilled laborer. Because capital, management, and labor worked together, Joe's idea grew. It grew and did things even he never dreamed of. Today, the automobile industry provides millions of jobs that never existed before. Mm-hmm. And remember, this is a story of only one industry. There are thousands more scattered all over the United States whose history of development is pretty much the same.
We've built a country under the American system that sends more young people to high school and college than all the rest of the world combined.
Don't go, it's a trap.
Why, even in the Depression, our wages bought more food, clothing, travel, and entertainment than the wages of any other people in the world. Our country has a national income equal to the total national incomes of any other six major world. With only 7%, the Earth's
population drives
70% of the world's automobiles. That's just a sample of the things the capitalistic system has given us in only 160 years.
This is
Before
propaganda.
Signing up, you boys ought to try a little taste of Dr. Ism's formula. To see what you get.
It's interesting they're pushing free market dogma in the.
Go ahead.
In 1948, though.
Yeah.
Because the market was not very free in 1948, incidentally.
No, it just come out of probably the least free period it ever had.
Wait till the union hears about this!
Ah, yes, the union. Welcome to our ranks, number 1313.
Ooh.
I'll take this case to the Supreme Court.
The state is the Supreme Court. Our decision is as follows. No more private property. No more you.
Paste.
And the farm vote will put a stop to this.
Farmers don't vote anymore.
What'll I do for seed next year?
You won't have to worry about next year. The state will do your planning from now on.
Well, I mean, this is really libertarian, Dave. This video.
Yes.
Or everything is lost. Everything.
Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine.
Amazing. I mean, this is literally what 2022 that we're living in.
Tries to pit one of us against the other through class warfare, race hatred, or religious intolerance.
Oh.
You know that person seeks to rob us of our freedom and destroy our very lives.
Yeah. Sneaky Italian sneaking away.
We know what to do.
And now, gentlemen, no violence, please. And don't throw those bottles. Don't throw those bottles. No.
You see, there's something interesting about this film.
Working
because...
together to produce an ever greater abundance of material and spiritual values for all. That is the secret of American prosperity.
Yeah, I'll just say a few things about this film. Which is that this was made in 1948. And in 1948... it was very much the New Deal's America, FDR's America, which was a very big government America, right? There was a lot of controls on Wall Street. There were a lot of regulations on what banks were allowed to do. There were huge antitrust laws, which favored small businesses over massive corporations and so on. So I find it really interesting that this message is being pushed in 1948. Incidentally, Mises wrote Human Action a year later and then went on a kind of public speaking tour around the USA in the 1950s. I'm just wondering, like, who put the money up for this and what their actual motives were. Because if you think about the trajectory of what happens in America from this point onwards, a lot of those controls... that I just mentioned were lifted. They were, and by the time you get to the end of the Reagan era, the financial regulations are completely taken away, if you want to put it that way, thereby allowing, those were the kind of last checks and balances in the system against like corporate takeover, is what I'm saying. So
right.
I actually wonder about this heavy libertarian message here in 1948, because... it doesn't actually reflect what was actually happening in the country.
Well, I can give you some more background about this. It was financed by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, which is an American philanthropic nonprofit organization founded in 1934 by Alfred P. Sloan, then president and chief executive officer of General Motors.
So it was funded by General Motors.
It was funded by the CEO of General Motors. Yes,
I see. Right, very interesting. Which I think it already had at least two bailouts by this point. Yeah, General Motors has been bailed out four times.
Even that early, I didn't know it happened that early.
Yeah, General Motors was, I believe, had a bailout during the Great Depression. Unlike Ford, which is, I don't think ever had a bailout, but General Motors has been bailed out four times. That was that one. Let's see what else is in Dee's goodie bag. Shall we have a look at? Let's have a look. Let's go to the 50s. That was 1948. A word to the wives.
A word to the wives. Okay. Okay. Hang on a moment. Let me. Halfway to where? Okay, so A Word to the Wives is basically a high production value advert for what, I don't know. I'll have to have my memory refreshed by actually watching it. So, but it is the perfect encapsulation of people's fantasy of the 1950s in America, I would say.
Okay, let's do it. Okay. Yeah, you do the countdown.
I will do the countdown. Okay. 3, 2, 1, play. The Woman's Home Companion. Oh, this music already. I love it. Darren McGavin, who I believe was one of the... Was he one of the husbands in Bewitched?
It wasn't really a plot against George Peters, but I'll admit it might have looked that way the morning his wife Jane stopped by for coffee. We'd just been in our new house 2 weeks, and I was still ecstatic over everything, especially my dream kitchen.
Is that bungalow, Dee?
Well,
that's the Great American Ranch House.
One word for it. Terrific. You know, I'm so proud of it. It's almost indecent of me. I can hardly wait to show it off a week from Friday night.
Well, you go ahead and be indecent. Gal's got a right to enjoy her first housewarming party. Sure wish I was having one.
I like the way she's dressed. She looks like she's just walked out of Gone with the Wind or something.
It's a bit recherche, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh. Hey, why so sad? And this isn't the first time I've noticed it.
Oh, nothing, really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
Would you favor that look for the average woman?
There's a sale going on at Watson's.
A
new hat would be the ideal tonic
for
you. I'm going around this afternoon for a small spree. How about coming with me?
No, I wish I could, but it's just impossible. You've no idea how much I've got to do. Remember, I haven't got
your dream
kitchen to make things
easier. Dressed up for just like casual coffee.
Strictly the nightmare type.
Yes, but I do think people did used to dress up back in the day, just for no reason at all. I'm basing that on my neighbour who's in her 90s and still dresses very smartly just to like go and pick up some milk or whatever.
Exactly. It seems like they're... This seems like evening makeup to me, though. It seems a bit heavy for coffee in the daytime. I don't know.
The fifth freedom, maybe. Freedom from unnecessary drudgery.
Freedom!
Freedom to go shopping when the urge hits you.
Exactly.
Oh, no.
These are the freedoms that women value.
Sale or no sale, I'm swamped. Besides, my mother's been quite ill in Cleveland, and I've been thinking about taking the weekend off to visit her. I've got to get my clothes in the dryer. I'll show you a couple of my prized beauties.
She's an absolute hussy, this woman, I tell you.
This setup makes any day wash day for me.
Oh.
And I can do my drying in any kind of weather. With a gas dryer. It couldn't be easier. It's completely automatic. I remember seeing this washer in the magazine ad.
automatic too, isn't it?
That's right.
Isn't there a little colored guide light that follows the operation through the various stages?
Yes.
I mean, I think it's, people will laugh exactly about this pipe thing.
Yes. I don't even have to watch
but
a clock.
I have heard, basically, versions of this conversation being had by women. I mean, like...
No, Janie.
You know, I mean, it's a little over the top, but still.
A fortunate trip for you. Now, just for kicks, don't get too far ahead in your housework.
I mean, I will say...
Now, why should you have to lay out everything all nice
having a washing
and ready
machine
for
is quite
George
useful.
And Jimmy, down to the last
oh,
egg
absolutely.
And can of salmon? Oh, no, I couldn't.
And American does them much better
them.
Than
after all,
the UK
after
does,
all
I will,
you've
I will
been
say,
going
for the most
through,
part.
This might be the awakening for friend George. The big, bright dawn. It might do him a world of good to be left all alone with Jimmy for two or three days.
She's literally Satan. She's a guileful tempter.
Well, Jane finally got off for Cleveland. Still not too certain she was doing right by leaving George and Jimmy by themselves. Even though George was absolutely sure they'd get along just fine. That's what he said. Just fine.
And sure. notice, of course, there's a kind of class thing, because you can see that this kitchen is much more kind of old-fashioned and less kitted out than the other kitchen.
Of course, when you leave a man to his own devices, he's apt to think of something fancy, like curried chicken with rice. But in this case, George not only should have done a little more thinking about his recipe... but should have kept his eyes on the stove as well.
Oh, no.
Now, if he'd just let his rice simmer instead of boiling. But frankly, I doubt if George knew how to bring things to a simmer.
Ooh, I feel there's some double entendre with that statement.
Well, maybe it was the mess, and maybe it was just the temperature outside. But George thought he could use a little cooling off. A nice, icy lemonade would be just right.
Absolutely hapless, George.
What's this ice tray
here? There's no...
Why, Palooka, get out of here.
Oh, I guess I forgot to fill it.
Sometime you might ask George how far is a mile. He would tell you it's the distance from his sink to his backyard garbage pail.
That happened to me the other day, and I was cursing and blinding everyone.
This is you at the lodge, isn't it?
The smart way to do dishes was two meals at a time.
He's like a kind of... He's like a kind of 1950s American Frank Spencer, D. Like a kind of... Absolutely
Jane
useless.
Had been away for all of 2.5 days, but the way she was welcomed back by George, you'd think she'd been gone a month.
This is anti-male propaganda, D. Seems like anti-male propaganda to me.
Well, of course. I mean, and that became the tone of advertising, you know, for the next, what, 75 years until today.
The others aren't coming till 7.
It was setting up the woman as the person who was the main driver of material consumption in the home.
Yes, and their consumer decisions.
Only this time with shredded pineapple instead of orange juice. You two go over and sit at the table. Don will be back in a few minutes, George. He's doing some last-minute shopping for me.
What's it?
Oh, hey, I almost forgot the big news. I went out to Pond Ridge with Helen Baker today, and I broke 50 for the first time on 9 holes.
Hey, now, wait a minute, Powers. You mean to tell me that with this big shindig staring you in the face, you still had time for golf?
Nothing to it.
Is that a Smeg fridge?
Come on over. Look at some of the evidence.
Look at the Smeg fridge.
No, but the Smeg fridge is designed after that this era of appliances. What is she making? What is that? It's like marshmallows in a casserole.
I just love the convenience and modern styling of this built-in gas range.
This woman is saving you, right?
I don't have to. It's completely automatic. You'll never guess what this sauce is for the baked ham. Equal parts of grape jelly and light mustard, blended and simmered. And Miss Bernard does it without scorching.
You fucking
monster. It's not that I don't like hanging out with you, but can you stop trying to sell me things every single time I talk?
Stop trying to get me to mix mustard and grape jelly on the stove.
You're going to stop pushing things on me, woman. Just
really?
Talk about weather.
Aren't you taking a chance of staining that counter with fruit juice? No danger with formica. Won't ever stain. Oh, that's the greatest help, George. Hanging the things you need where you need them. In fact, this whole kitchen was designed for efficiency and convenience.
That's what I like. Solid and sturdy as steel.
And so easy to keep clean, too.
Hey, what's this?
Oh, automatic flour dispenser. Very handy. Here, I'll show you how it works.
Hey, what's going on here? Hiya, Don Boyle.
George, we're a little early.
Oh, that's good.
I've been showing them around.
Good, darling. Hello, Jane.
Hi. Oh, Don, will you get rid of these for me while I sort this stuff?
Well, you might have pressed old George into service. Here, come on, George, I'll show you how it works. This is really for me, chum.
What is it?
Well, it's a simple gas disposer.
Oh, for God's sake.
What? It takes care of all the waste. The brightest, shiniest bride could use this gizmo.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's great.
And that also goes for this automatic water heater. Mm-hmm. Two temperatures from the same tank at the same time.
Now, someone said she's a shill for the big kitchen.
It gives you hot water for the bathroom and for the kitchen sink. But the other pipe, this one gives you really hot water for clothes and for dishes to make them really clean.
Wow.
Both anytime you want. Look, George, if you're really interested...
This is what men talk about when they get away from the wives.
He's as bad as his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be here tonight. Yeah, just in case you'd have anything to ask him.
My evil plans have borne fruit.
Provocative conversation, and Ed Stevens is a handy man with figures and ideas. It certainly looked like progress was being made when we peeked in on them. Well, that's the way it worked out. And as I mentioned before, it wasn't a plot against George. Well, you don't think Jane and I would do something like that, do you?
Well, they sold their house.
Yeah, they bought a new dream home so they can sell appliances to their friends.
I'll leave it up to you whether the gals tricked me or not, but that's another story. This new dream house is a happy ending to our story. Why don't you drop around and talk with the men who can make your dream of a new home come true? The best and most reputable builders in your area are here to help you. They're standing by right now in the booth, sponsored by your local Home Builders Association, to discuss plans and prices with you. Believe me, A few minutes now can lead to a whole lifetime of happiness. Happy home building.
Oh. Yeah, that house was just sold $3 million to BlackRock. Caloric, Whirlpool, the Formica Company, Republic Steel Kitchens. These are your masters.
I don't understand why you didn't just buy a new kitchen. Like, I mean...
No.
They sold him on the kitchen, and he's like, yeah, oh, sod it. It's too much to do. I'll just buy a whole new house.
Yeah, we just need the whole house.
All he needed to buy was a washing machine, God's sake. They had a massive house. Their old house was really nice. So, very strange. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, also, I just looked up. I was wrong about Darren McGavin. Yeah, was an actor. Was in many things, including in David Lean's Summertime and in The Man with the Golden Arm.
I reckon today nobody would sell that massive brick house they had to buy one of those ranches.
To buy one of those terrible 1950s ranches.
I just don't think that they would have maintained their... I think on today's market, the place they sold would be worth more than the place they bought. That's my view.
Viewers may recognize George as being the father in the film A Christmas Story, which is very heavily in very heavy rotation on American television around Christmas time.
So let's see what else we've got on the docket.
Yes, Juan Montoya points out that you're right, that may have been asbestos paneling on the side of the house rather than cement. Was quite popular in this period.
I just find it very odd that rather than just upgrade his kitchen, he decided to just sell his entire property.
Yeah.
Should we do now? Should we take a jaunt into the 60s and 70s, or do you want to stay in the 50s?
50s and 70s. What else do we have in the 50s?
Mind Your Manners. We've got.
Oh, let's do Mind Your Manners before we leave the 50s behind.
All right. Tell me when.
As soon as I find it here. Oh.
You got it?
No. Mind your... Oh, there it is. All right, ready. 3, 2, 1, play. What's my line? Mind Your Manners, Coronet track film. 1953, I think it said.
No, the consultant was a woman, Dee. Consultant was a woman.
Of course it was. Why is she dressed like that? Oh, they have like a Dutch-themed cafe.
It must be a pancake. Dutch pancake.
Yes, the... what was that place called? The International House of Pancakes.
IHOP, yeah.
IHOP.
Hi, I'm sorry I'm late, but I ran into Jean here. Oh, Jean, this is Ed Reardon, the Ed I was telling you about. Hello.
How do you do?
And this is Jack Connors, Jean Bassett from over at Morrisville.
How do you do, Jean?
Hello.
Here, you can sit here.
Slightly shifty character.
Mm-hmm. Would you like something, a malt or a soda?
A malt, I think.
Mm-hmm. Malt. What's the idea of that?
You notice their good manners right away. Good manners make good first impressions. And because your manners are showing all the time, they have a lot to do with how well people like you. We've noticed Jack's manners because, well, they seem easy and natural. Mm-hmm. Of course, He does have a special reason for good manners.
Can I have another cup of cocoa, Swiss Miss?
Good manners are comfortable and natural and easy for him now because they're with him all day.
People are attracted to people who they look like.
Well, let's see.
Mm.
I think the young boy and the young girl kind of look at
each other. Morning,
Jack.
Morning, Jack.
Hi.
Morning, dear.
See? A cheerful good morning is a good way to start the day. Good manners will help toward a pleasant, happy day. And home is a good place to practice them.
Some eggs, Dad?
Thanks.
May I have some toast, please?
He doesn't have the face of someone who has good manners.
Please. No, he doesn't.
Thank you. These are words of respect.
Again,
words
due to his physiology.
Day-to-day living go smoothly.
Oh, Jack, do you think I could borrow that portable radio of yours for the picnic tomorrow?
No!
Please?
Asking to borrow things politely, not demanding them.
All right.
And sharing things when you can are more signs of good manners.
It's about time to get out the storm windows and check them over. How about tonight, Jack?
Gee, I'm sorry, Dad. I have a date tonight. Would tomorrow be all right?
Sure. Just make sure.
Yes, even when you have to go against another's wishes, you can do it agreeably. Being agreeable, saying and doing things in a pleasant way, that's easy enough. And it does make a difference all day long.
Ready?
Yeah, just a second. I'll put my jacket on here. Oh, excuse me. I'll get it.
Excuse me. Jack's good manners are showing again.
Jack Connor speaking.
It's helpful to give your name when you answer.
Well, Mr. Moore, I'm sorry. My father just left for the plant a few minutes ago. May I take a message?
Ask him to call me when he comes in tonight.
Yes, I will.
Thank you very much.
I'll tell him.
Do you know, Dee, despite their reputation, I've met quite a lot of polite Americans.
Say what you have to say.
Oh, they're very polite. Very polite.
For on the phone, too, your
especially as you go
to
south.
Ready for you.
Yeah.
We're going, Mom. Goodbye.
Bye. Oh, bye, Jack. Bye, sis.
See you after school.
Right.
When Jack leaves the house with a lady, it's ladies first. Ooh. Yes, even with his sister.
So she can step in the
or
dog
the
shit
street,
before he does.
As much as at home. Your manners are showing.
Yeah, he does have he has the air of someone who is fastidiously polite to cover up the fact that, you know,
it's a simple enough
he's
matter
into some
to give
really
people
perverted
you meet
shit.
Plenty of room to pass. Good manners again, and they put you in a good light.
Hi.
I want to see some bad manners.
How are you? We've missed you.
I'm fine now. No more tonsils.
Oh, that's right. You had them out, didn't you?
A cheerful greeting for friends you meet. An inquiry about their welfare, and everyone feels more at ease. That's what good manners do. They make everyone feel at ease.
Yeah, but it's quite boring. All they're doing is being really, really civil and polite to each other.
I know. I was hoping it would, because usually these films have like the counterexample. Usually these films have like someone behaving terribly. There's Rosa Parks in the back.
Inside the bus, you can enjoy the ride and let others enjoy it. Or you can, well, look around. Perhaps
well,
the less
the
said
is right at the back
kind
of the bus.
Of manner, the better.
Oh, they did go to the back of the bus, didn't they?
And this kind.
Oh. Now I've got some bad manners there.
Oh, look, she's haughty. Haughty.
Your manners are showing. And it's good manners that make a good impression.
Is that the same girl from the malt bar?
No, about getting off the bus. Should Jack get off first? Yes, he can give the ladies
Evanston.
A hand. And girls, let
Evanston.
The men help. They enjoy it.
Yeah, let the men help.
And no loafing around. Being on time is good manners, too.
Oh, no.
Are your manners showing when you're in class? Let's see. There's Jack giving the teacher his best attention. Good manners again.
He looks like he's leering.
Anglo-Saxon England
We must go back many, many years.
Betty, could I tell you the lady the Jan told me?
This kind of manner shows, too. It's one way to impress the teacher.
What a diversity.
All right, we'll continue our discussion.
It's slightly
now.
Diverse.
We're talking about Queen Elizabeth and the coronation. All right, class dismissed.
Oh, the coronation, which would have happened. Yeah. Yes, 1953.
Say, I noticed you're new in class. I'm Jack Connors.
Hi, Jack. Oh. My name is Fred Johnson. Fred
Knight. All right, Fred. See, I thought we might walk around the school here and
introducing yourself to a new classmate is good manners and easy.
Jack? Say, have you seen the new school paper?
No.
Well, here, you can borrow mine. My sis has one I can use.
An offer of help, willingness to share, and your good manners help make friends for you. Walking slowly, keeping to the right, more good manners.
You've got some nice pictures, Mary.
Come on, I'll get them.
Can I give you a hand?
No, that's all right.
She'll remember good manners, and that makes Jack rate high with her.
Yeah. Little cameo from William Shakespeare there.
I saw him.
After school, when it's time for fun, when it's so easy to forget about manners, what about then?
Let's do some crime, man!
Yes, your manners are showing that.
Another
too.
Amazing car.
To think Jack is just so bored.
What are good manners when you're driving?
It just goes around being nice all day.
I'm telling you, when the sun goes down,
you
Jack,
can wait for someone
the savage beast comes
even
out.
If you do have the right of way. You can drive as
well. What do you think the crime rate is in this town? Like, no hanging on 0% crime.
0%.
In WASP America.
There are good manners.
I wonder what
driving,
this community is like today. That's what I wonder.
Your manners show in the things you do, in the clothes you wear.
Sis, you're not going yet, are you?
Pretty soon, Jack. Mary's due any minute now.
Well, here's the portable, you... Pardon me, sis, but you aren't... Do you think you should go to a picnic dressed like that?
Picnic?
Whoa.
Oh, the picnic's tomorrow.
Oh, I guess I misunderstood you this morning. I'll put the radio in your room.
Thanks. Oh, Jack, I am going to a concert tonight. Do you think I look all right?
For a concert? Terrific. Wait a second.
Yes, your manners are showing all day long. You may not know it,
do think
but
people
all
like
along
Jack,
the way, your manners leave their mark.
Would you like to hang out with him? Because I think he's quite a dull lad, you know.
It's nice to have him come to breakfast dressed. Cheerful.
Yeah, that's the subtext of this. That, like, everyone hates Jack.
That message will be delivered. Fine boy, that Jack Connors. Helpful.
Oh, don't sit around thinking about Jack Connors, you old bastard.
There is a pleasant, well-mannered group of young people, not like some.
When is he going to make the move? Come on, Jack.
Are with you, and they leave their mark. They help you feel sure of yourself, too.
And then he stands up and just starts to open fire.
Everyone you meet. We could listen in on Gene's thoughts, for example.
No.
Well, you take it from here.
Well, take it from here, right to the bin. That was a dull one. Oh, sorry about that. I usually vet them to make sure that they're interesting.
He's basically just perfectly well mannered young man all the way through, and then it ends.
And yet there was a friction between the way he was behaving and the way he looked, like his face and his
expression. He had the physiognomy of somebody who looks like he could belong in a delinquent center or something.
Exactly. Like when I saw him, you know, when I saw him on the, you know, just like opening the file, I was just like, oh, he's, of course he's going to be the one without manners. But no, I'm very weird about that.
Yeah, it did remind me though of that book that Bap always goes on about, The Ordeal of Civility, where he argues that the massive change that happened in America was was a Catholic and Jewish revolt against Protestant manners, basically. Because that was Wasp Manners that we were watching. The whole thesis of this book is that they had to like suppress their natural way of being to live up to that way of life, and you know, to not offend the Protestant majority. So when they finally, you know, got onto the levers of power, they then started like pulling apart and deconstructing that that society that they found so oppressive, essentially. Yeah.
Well, I have to say that there is something about the entire order of that's presented in that film. That is not a masculine way of being. Like that is not a society. That is a society that is set up for kind of that woman at the end. Like that's a society for kind of middle-aged married women in a domestic middle-class society. That is not a society for the needs and aspirations of young men, of certainly of the warrior type. You know, we talk about these different types of men.
Yeah, so it's very recognizably a bourgeois order, isn't it? But you're constantly having to, you know, it's very others focused, which I guess is the essence of manners, right? You're always thinking of the other person rather than, you know, putting their needs ahead of your own. So you can see, you know, I do worry about how bored Jack might be in that town, though, with his because we never see them talk about anything else, you know.
No, nothing. And nor do we ever see Jack really doing anything. Like, all he does is open doors and pull out chairs for women, you know, answer the phone for women, pull lint off his sister's shoulder, give up his very expensive transistor radio to his sister. You know, we don't ever see him. What is he doing? Does he play a sport? You know, does he hunt? You know, where is Jack's masculine? You know, he's in the flower of young manhood. Where is that manifesting itself? You know, I'm going to the Swiss Miss malt shop with the girls. I don't know. It just seems very
Yeah, I think the word we're looking for is passive. He's very passive, isn't he?
Yeah. And I don't think of this like this is not. I don't want to return to this. This is not a vision of a good society. You know, the Boomercon would say, you know, this is what we want to return to this. But I don't think so. I think that this was part and parcel of, you know, of the hideous advent of modernity, you know, in its own way.
Yes, although I would say that town probably had a really low crime rate.
I mean, just based upon the demographics, I suspect it probably had a very low crime.
And there was no traffic congestion on the streets either. So, you know.
No.
All right. Move to the 60s or the 70s?
Yes.
The country look. Greenwich Village.
So these two, I these two go sort of hand in hand. Let's watch the one called
Or do you want to do some junior high
while we've got time? No, they'll do junior high after these. We need a transition. Let's do the I got different file names. That's why it's so difficult for me to find these.
It's called RFD
Greenwich Village, 1969, circa 1969. This was an advert. This was not an advert, but this was an industrial film produced for like the cotton lobby. But I think it's just visually and sort of sociologically interesting.
All right.
3, 2, 1, play.
Hello,
In the shadows of modern Manhattan, surrounded by glass and steel, yet only a subway stop away from the seething city, with its crowds of people, hectic workday schedules, and the office routines, lies the sleepy village called Greenwich. A suburban oasis where one can gather thoughts and enjoy the wonders of nature.
In Greenwich Village, New York, yes, okay.
Or saunter through winding streets.
Didn't Bob Dylan live there, did he?
Yes, I mean, this is you know, the kettle
among
of fish and all
churches,
of
inlaid
all those
with
places,
antiquity,
the that whole scene.
And houses weathered as wrinkled crones. And through courtyards stippled with the light and shade of centuries.
Hey, by a dog.
Here, thousands of people live in an atmosphere much like the one they left in their own hometown.
These are some hideous clothes. Absolutely hideous.
Hideous clothes. Also, again, I like the implication that no one is from there. Everyone left
village
somewhere
life
to go
is
there.
Cosmopolitan, yet
which
relaxed,
was true.
And carefree. Pleasure is found in just being alive. Suburban living on an urban landscape. A time to pursue personal pleasures. To find self-expression in comfortable clothing. The tempo is leisurely, and cotton's casual appeal is in step with carefree living. Worldly worries are laid aside, and time is spent on decorating the home, making repairs, minding the laundry. Browsing through antique shops for a possible bargain. Or discovering a rare volume in a quaint bookstore.
Pick up some subversive literature.
Or shopping in the world-famous Bleecker Street Market. Alive with the carnival colors of old world piazzas.
Was this the first hipster time?
I mean, and you know, complete, I know quite a lot about
time
this,
for a few
this
relaxing
area
moments
and
in
this,
one of the many popular
period. It was not like
cafe.
This even then. It's bizarre.
Freed from conservative business attire, the modern villager finds comfort in cotton corduroy, the fabric woven for the now generation. As ruggedly appealing as the great outdoors.
See, this is what Jack grew. This is what Jack is doing 10 years on.
Of cosmopolitan life.
Jack was smoking LSD and Greenwich Village.
And got into corduroy.
Greenwich Village has long been a clothes capital. From the early days of our country, village styles have been avant-garde. Always a step or so before their time. Contemporary as today, new as tomorrow.
Simon Roberts says she's like a Diane Keaton figure about to find herself, and it's exactly
for this most.
Yeah, she's very Diane Keaton.
La di da, la di da.
I did like those tight trousers on the woman doing the tailoring.
Yeah. Oh,
nightfall. Creating a world of contradiction, of paradoxes in life. The tourist is lured by a sense of adventure in losing himself in a modern casbah, while the resident prefers an evening spent at a theater off Broadway, where the actors and audience share their common experiences after each performance.
There's something very odd about this film, Dee.
Yes.
This is the voice
dinner,
of, like,
favorite hideaway.
you know, establishment America giving the rubber stamp on Greenwich Village's
going to a party in the garret of a Bohemian scene, you know.
Well, exactly, and again, you know, I think people need to dispel with this idea that the entire sort of project of the very late 1960s was anything other than just another fete by the establishment, you know, and another coup. I mean, you know, it was an anti-establishment assault. It was instantly co-opted into this, you know. I mean, this is 1969, and already the Cotton Board of America, whatever, is using this whole thing as just a way to sell NAF clothing. Oh.
If you're pushing at an open door, you're not a radical.
No.
That's what I say.
Like any other small community, Greenwich Village has its town square. Once a field for bloody Indian battles and aristocratic duels, hangings and potter's burials, Washington Square is now an island retreat. Here on Sundays, villagers gather for idle pleasure.
When I lived there, you couldn't walk through Washington Square without being harassed by at least like 20 drug dealers. Like, they would literally, like follow you. Oh, ethnic, subversive ethnic type.
Towering high above this pastoral setting is the American Arc de Triomphe, perpetuating in stone the ideals of the father of our country. Washington Arch stands as a monument for all free men.
They pulled that down yet?
In the old row houses just north of the square lived the 19th century aristocracy. Behind these ancient gates, in leather-bound libraries and French-style drawing rooms, life was gay and frivolous.
Say that again.
Well.
Today's high-fashion cottons reflect the past in designer collections inspired
by the young
romantic
look.
Couturier cottons. Frilled, ruffled, edged in lace. Delicate feminine cottons, recreating an era of fantasy, of pure coquetry, of sheer romance. Cotton organdies, laces, and velveteens, resplendently radiating the nostalgia of times past.
Can you imagine the person that had to sit and write that?
Somehow, this film was made. 1969 Greenwich Village just seemed like really normal and uncool.
It's like really uncool.
This is like the least cool place on earth. You know?
Greenwich Village is endowed with a great sense of history. Its brownstones, its garrets, cellars, and courtyards.
Hello.
Have been home to literary masters such as Mark Twain, Herman Melville, and Edna St. Vincent Millay, Washington Irving, Edgar Allan Poe, and O. Henry. Of President Monroe, Patriot Alexander Hamilton, inventors Thomas Edison, Robert Fulton, and Samuel Morse, artists Thomas Hart Benton and Winslow Homer, and others who have contributed to the American heritage.
A Noel Coward play.
Something so odd about this. It's just sucked all the vitality in life.
Today, Greenwich Village is the postmark for many countrified cosmopolitans.
It's like all that stuff you talk about, nothing lands.
To rigid
like,
metropolitan dress for them and their suburban counterparts.
This guy doesn't care about Mark Twain. Yeah.
Manufacturers and designers work around the clock, to provide the cotton sportswear and leisure wear they demand for the country life.
The word I'm looking for is sterile. It's like a kind of very odd.
Yeah, it's been passed through that washing machine from the 50s video we watched.
That was one of the weirdest things I can remember watching.
There's something very weird about that. Yeah, that's why I picked it. You know, it's almost like you know, some sort of like alien intelligence trying to sort of like understand, you know, what humans were doing in 1969.
Yeah, and, but even when he was going through the history, it just seems so divorced from anything real.
Yeah,
it was just like, you know, I'm going to talk about George Washington and Mark Twain, and it's just like, where's this coming from? Who is this guy? You know, very odd.
Very, very weird. Okay. Let's watch a very short one, which is called
A Country Look.
A Country Look, yeah, which is just 2 minutes, but it's the sort of, I would say, the British parallel to what we just watched.
Let's have a watch that.
This is the Pete John B lifestyle here. This one. All right, ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, play.
Slinky and pink panther pilled.
Yeah. And their matching shearling coats.
Well, these people seem a lot more stylish than the Greenwich Village lot.
They do. I mean, look at that thatch. Goodness sake.
Lovely. Very nice place to live.
Yeah. Amazing hairstyles, I would say.
I keep half expecting Christopher Lee to turn up, but still.
There we have it. Now there we go. That's what you
Lovely.
Need.
Lovely.
Like a swimming pool in the Devon countryside.
Oh man.
I'm also led to wonder what the relationship between these three people is.
Yeah, there's something very slightly
very slightly strange.
I'll go first tonight, alright?
Oh, look at his deerstalker hat. Amazing.
It's weird, but these guys genuinely seem cooler to me than
they're so much in. Cooler than the New York hipsters.
The clicking.
Amazing.
Oh, they're going to a country pub.
Be two Grand Marniers, barmaid. I love that it ends with that weird zoom on the Toby Charles.
It's so weird. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. I have no idea what that was or what it was for.
It's something remarkably. I find like a sinister undertone to the whole thing. You know?
Yes.
What are they up to, these two men?
What are they doing? God's sake.
I think that was if you could reimagine that scene with the Toby jug at the end, redirected by somebody like, I don't know, Michael Haneke, you know, they've come to dominate the barmaid or something, you know, they're going to.
Exactly. You know. I'm just in you know, I'm thinking of like Sam Peckinpah, like, you know, just sort of,
yeah, it does. I mean, somebody in the chat said 1960s Patrick Bateman's. There is some weird, there's a strange undertone to that.
Very weird undertone to that.
I enjoyed it though.
But those people were much more interesting than the try hard hipsters in Greenwich Village.
Absolutely. And I think that if they met Jack from Mind Your Manners, they'd probably just like point a gun at him or something.
Oh.
They just seem like kind of ruthless psychopaths.
Jack got dumped in that pond.
All right, do we want to watch some of junior high school?
Yeah, we'll watch some of the junior high school. Is very long, so we can't watch all of it, but it's so remarkable that we do have to give it a look.
Well, we can do about 10 minutes of it. Let's do that.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, someone said it has a straw dog's undertone.
it really does, though. It's just like, you know, come on, let's get it drunk for the you know, for the old in out later on. You know?
Yeah. I hate you. Jumped up, pantry boy.
Do you know what we should do one day, Lee, right? We should provide dialogue. We should do voiceover for that.
Voiceover for that.
Yeah. Just imagine what's actually happening in it, you know. The close up of the Toby jug at the end could make it really sinister.
Could make it really sinister. Oh, God. All right. Okay, junior high school. This is 1978. And again, I don't know what this is. So, ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1, go.
It's horror. What the fuck is this?
You'll love this because it's just so full of like random bullying and weirdness.
So it's literally like horror vault. Oh dear. You can't go anywhere in the school without somebody shoving you down.
Someone shoving you. Ooh.
That big, ladies. Go on, get him in the bed. So odd. Can I just say this is the messaging that Gen X kids have? And they grew up to be Thomas 777.
And me.
And you.
Yeah. God, I would I set foot in a place
hey,
like this.
Remember the play where I had two guys coming up on my left? Where to go? So I went right up the middle.
Hey, did I tell you that Coach Collier wants me to go out for city track competition?
She looks even better than she did last year.
Jerry, am I going to hear that again all year? You were in love with her all last year, and all you did was talk about it. Did you ask her out?
No.
Listen, handsome. If you'd listen to me, Lori'd be with you right now instead of with freaking Frack.
That's a young Red Hawk there,
Dee. Those things make me nervous.
A fat little Bye. Nerd, of course.
Of course, the cruel truth is he has absolutely no chance whatsoever with her.
No.
Guys, listen, I have to tell you about my party.
Nick needs to get a Wikipedia.
Does anyone recognize that? Does anyone recognize that person?
No.
Let's see if anyone in the chat gets it.
I can't wait, Sherry. You always plan the greatest parties. I know.
Like, Dee, this is the weirdest thing. What the fuck is this? It's like weird. It's all like discordant. Did William Friedkin direct this or something?
Yeah. Today is we developed this theme today of just like unintentional like psychic horror.
Everything's discordant and out of tune and strange, isn't it? I mean, nobody watching this could wonder why America has a strange, like, shitter problem.
Yeah.
It's like an engine room to create psychopaths. What is this place? I don't know if Lady O'Shalott is here, but the girl in the lumberjack top looks a lot like Lurch from Prisoner Cell Block H.
So no one guessed, but the girl, that girl, that is Paula Abdul. Did she just walk
Paula
away?
Abdul, right.
Yeah, that was Paula Abdul of the 1980s.
The,
yeah.
The one who was singing.
Yes.
She's a lot better looking than when she was older. I tell you.
Yeah, don't look at her now though. She's been carved. She's been carved into an within an inch of her life.
Sorry when I get there. Get there, but who are you going to take you?
Oh,
hierarchy.
You should listen to me in the first place, Paul. If I listened to everything you told me, I'm
that is Jerry. Red Hawk, isn't it?
Look who's back. If it isn't Mr. Briefcase himself.
Oh, here's Turnip.
Yeah, do you know where room 41 is?
Oh yeah, it's over there.
Everyone in this school is a psycho. I love it.
They're all.
Good morning, Jerry. Good morning, Paul. I thought this was going to be a good year, but I see you two idiots are here.
Turn up.
Hey, Keith. Yeah? So you've got a new briefcase. You guys leave this one alone. You guys are so immature. I bet you don't even have dates for the party yet. Who are you going to ask? Karen? Keith, you're a moron. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna ask Lori.
She's gonna turn you down, mate. She's gonna turn
Lori Scott, you fool. She always has those jocks.
You fool.
Around with her. What makes you think she'll go out with you? Yeah, she doesn't even know you. I'll get her to. Listen, Poindexter, if Jerry says he can do it, he can do it. He follows my advice. Now, why don't you take your briefcase for a walk?
Even the nerd is a psychopathic
boy. You guys are just a couple of retards.
Whoa.
Who are you going to get to take you to the party? I mean, if David's
some wimp, I'm just going to ditch him when I get there anyway so I can take care of David.
But won't that hurt his feelings?
Hurt his feelings?
What is a psycho?
Gee,
I love
I
it.
Wouldn't want to hurt everyone. His feelings.
Oh, who cares? I'll find someone.
Oh. Oh,
jerk. Why don't you watch where you're going? Oh, Jerry. I'm so sorry.
Oh. Ugh.
Are you all right? I didn't see you.
God, he's going to get damaged by that nose on her. Safe.
Represents depth, the third dimension. Now, actually, I've drawn it as a diagonal line on this two-dimensional blackboard, but in reality, it represents a line drawn perpendicular to the X and Y axis.
Does look like Kurt Vonnegut.
Imagine it, if you will, passing through the blackboard, like this. In other words, if I were to suspend a clothesline from right here, past this point, all the way through to the back of the...
That's great, Rembrandt, but that won't get you anywhere. You've got to get her attention. Red Hawk
is absolutely relentless.
You're always giving me wonderful advice.
Red Hawk never lets up.
Please don't watch what I do. Instead, I wish you would do what I say.
This Gordon out of teen singing again.
My life could be milk and honey.
Someone needs to gift this and send it to Red Hawk.
If I'd done a lot of the things I have thought of for you. But don't watch what I do. Instead, I wish you would do what I say.
This is so odd and off kilter, D, the whole thing.
Yeah. No, there's some very dark, sinister energy in this entire thing.
How so? Watching it.
Surrounded by hundreds of girls every day. So instead, I wish you would
be reading a Rollo Tomassi. This young man. Oh.
You should go out and impress her.
Maybe it's like some sort of like cursed version of Cyrano de Bergerac.
Go out and try it for me.
The trouble is he's got no chance for that girl.
No.
They're older than them. She's older.
Yeah.
And she's hanging out with two guys who are like 6'2".
Like, oh, his name was Mr. Rumble.
So what I do? Instead, I wish you would do what I say.
Oh.
Now, don't be nervous. She's got to be around here somewhere.
Oh, my God.
There she is. Now, you're all set. Remember what I said?
Don't do it. Just don't do it.
Go on!
It's going to be so humiliating for this poor boy.
Oh.
He's going to remember this when he's, like, 40. He'll still be having nightmares about it.
He's never going to be doing it.
Oh my God.
Oh.
Oh God.
Oh.
At least he didn't do it. It's excruciating, it really is. I love how dangerous it is to walk down a corridor in that place as well.
Yeah.
Shove off in the face or
thrown into the bin.
Oak, pine, walnut, and of course, balsa. We will be working on 5 projects throughout the semester. Now, your first project, which is due a week from Tuesday...
Oh, hello, Jerry!
Young man, come over here.
Take this cafeteria. For
for some extracurricular activity.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Look at that.
Oh. Horrendous.
Oh, no. Oh.
No. Was this film made by, like, Murray Rothbard, who just really hates school, you know, in advance?
God.
Oh.
Oh.
Ugh. Oh, fuck you.
You take a piece of plywood and hammer in a nail. I don't want any horseplay or I'll give you each a fail.
The napkins on the left side, be sure to fold it neat. Attractive table settings make a pleasant way to eat.
Each machine must be kept clean, the bottom to the top. Don't leave before you sweep the floor. I want a spotless shop.
La 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 la.
You'll get an education, but you won't need a book. Your one examination is to eat the food you cook.
Yeah!
And here you have a planer. The blade is very thin. Be careful when you use it or you'll plane off all your skin.
Why does this exist?
I don't know. That's cool, Abdul again.
Yeah. Is that the girl he's after, the one in the back?
I think so.
Now this is called a bandsaw. The blade could slice a tree. You better watch your fingers or you'll be an amputee.
You have to toss the dough up.
And this could smash your toe up.
I'm really gonna throw up.
Just love the way she just dominates her friend. That's very true to life, by the way.
Oh yeah,
you always get a master slave relationship in teenage girls.
In girls,
it's still there. You really did.
I was afraid you weren't going to be able to go to the party.
I'm all right, really.
Oh, that nose!
I'm going to be late for PE.
He's playing this all wrong, though. He should just
maybe I'll bump into you again.
He should get her over and done with to pop his cherry, and then he might have confidence to approach the other one.
Margie Amsterdam, please report to the girls' PE office.
Ugh. Oh no. No, please don't.
She is only popular because of her shape. She fills out her bra with a perfect.
It's the one on the left of girl.
We stand in awe. It's really
that girl on the left.
I mean, it's very hard to tell these days, isn't it?
We're longing to be bigger, so we pray. 33C and not double A.
They want bigger boobs.
This is a song about boobs.
Yes. They're three flat-chested girls.
The itty bitty titty committee.
Oh man.
Oh my god.
This is so dark, dude.
I knew you'd like this.
So dark.
I just saw the British remote.
That's that.
This is like a really deep meditation D on how sinister high school is.
Well, at least we have two classes together. So who are you going to my party with, Bill or Bob? Did Bob tell you that Coach Collier wants him to go out for the city track competition?
I think you may have mentioned it once or twice.
Well, whichever one you go with.
Someone says we should rename Women's Hour to the Itty Bitty Team Committee.
Basic equipment, very important.
But that's the one Jerry wants to go out with.
It's up to you squad leaders to make sure that everyone in your squad is properly equipped.
Coach!
Yes, Friedman?
What if a student wanted to wear it over my underwear?
No, Friedman, you can't.
Sorry, that's not fair. I thought we could win.
All right, Friedman, go run a mile.
God.
Okay, 50 toe touches. Call them off out loud.
One, two, three.
There she is.
Four.
Your dream boat.
Five.
Get in there, Jerry.
She doesn't even know you exist.
Seven.
I know.
Eight.
Now's your chance.
Nine.
Go over and talk to her.
Ten. 11.
During class?
Twelve.
Sure.
13.
The general over there won't even miss
14.
You.
15.
Taking a massive risk yet again.
19, 19, 20, 21.
Look at that absolutely dire building.
I really have to see if he gets his way with this girl now.
Okay.
He's
gone.
Cool.
Who is that guy? I saw him this morning.
Oh.
He's a friend of Julie's. He's going to the party. What's he doing? Run two laps.
Ronald Rubin.
Yeah.
Harold Salzman.
Here.
Jerry Saunders.
Here.
Saunders, get over here.
Oh, why did you give yourself away?
Since you seem to be so full of energy, I think you deserve an extra little workout.
We are the gym teachers.
Oh, no.
You haven't worked enough until you drop dead. We're gonna get you to sweat. You don't stand a chance. This is a modern dance. It's biz ed. Run a lap. Don't throw up. Don't talk back. Wear a cup. Write your name on your clothes. Bend your knees. Touch your toes.
We are the squad leaders, and if we see you talk, we will send you on laps. We'll make you wash your clothes. We'll make you snap your jock.
I remember there was this one boy who was made to do laps in his underwear when I was doing pool.
Wow.
Yeah, and he had a heart condition, and he was like, literally, like, he was like, sir, I've got a bad heart. Shut up, prune, just get around there.
Oh my God.
Drop it, we're gonna get you
they really need all these songs in this?
Do what?
Do they really need all these songs in this?
I don't know.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Action.
Did you know that Art was going to Shay's party?
There she is.
Back in the get it.
Okay, Romeo, you're all set. I got you another chance to meet Lori.
But Paul...
Don't thank me, that's my job, lover boy. All you have to do is go down to the nurse's office.
The nurse's office?
Yeah. I arranged for Lori to be summoned there.
I don't know why we would have called you here. You don't look sick. You don't need an eye exam. You don't feel sick, do you?
Oh.
Hey, where do you think you're going?
I gotta see the nurse.
You know, the flu's going around. I heard from downtown that sometimes you students feel tired and you don't even know what you have. I've been feeling kind of tired lately.
I have to.
You can't be here without
a
hall
pass. Oh, please don't sing a song.
I gotta go. Please, I'm really sick.
I don't even remember why we summoned you here.
I'm gonna throw up any minute.
Okay, you're coming with me.
No.
Oh.
She likes him. No.
Oh.
Damn it. No, it's gonna be a happy ending. Damn it, I wanted this to be crushed.
Oh.
Hi,
we find out that that briefcase is full of cocaine.
I'm on a diet, so I saved a spear. I thought you might like it.
I want it after you handle it.
I hear you don't have a date yet for the party.
Well, I haven't.
I don't either.
I like how he's just had no time for her. Back off.
What was that? Oh, there she is. She's going to spot him again.
You can only check out 10 books. That's the rule.
Oh, here's young AA.
I'm sorry. Here, let me help you. No, just get out of here.
Oh, here it is. Here it is.
Oh, he's reading the Populist Delusion.
Oh, it's working! No!
Oh. Yes.
Yes! Reality returns. She likes him. Damn it, she likes him.
You're so disappointed.
It was his fault, Mrs. Stewart.
Which one of us
we're
going to the party with?
Hey, did I tell you that? That shot was. Oh no, she doesn't like him anymore. She's gone off Chad.
She wouldn't be interested in this kid. She would not be interested.
It's completely unrealistic.
Oh, I must look like a funny guy.
I think she's endeared by his efforts. That's what's happened.
Right.
You've got to remember, women are extremely kind of self-absorbed in that way.
That she
was mine. I guess I ought to try for something less.
She thinks it's sweet that he's doing all of this, and that's endeared her to him. So, despite the fact that he's about 4'10", she's still going to go for it.
I don't have a chance, and so why try?
Lori, I'm going out now, honey. Don't forget to make out the summons slips on my desk. You have to send them out this period.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ugh, that was weird.
Everything in this film is weird.
I hardly
know him. Oh, God. Look at nobody singing this film as well.
To be fair, it does sound like the soundtrack has got a warp in it.
Oh, that may explain it.
Sometimes these films where there's just like an old print, the optical soundtrack will have a kind of warp bit to the edge of the film.
It's probably improved it, you know.
It's probably made it. Oh, I see they're doing the whole like duet from a distance thing.
Oh, they're definitely going to get together now. Sadly. It's just setting young men up for unrealistic expectations, this film.
This was her only film role, imagine that.
What, this? That girl there.
In fact, it was most of these people's only film role.
Oh, you don't say.
Except for Jerry, who we'll talk about after the film.
Oh, no! Oh. This has to be sabotaged. Order must be restored. I can't believe it. And Red Hawk is going to be vindicated as well.
Danny, the summon slips are ready to go out.
Who's Vicky? No! No!
No!
Ridiculous. Slow walking. Just get on with it. Stop turning, getting it. Intervene.
Father! Keith's passing a note.
Bring it up here. Keith, I'm surprised at you.
Very quick thinking from our Jerry there.
Junior high school.
Oh.
Now I'm happy that it's my school. All last year I really wanted to be your guy.
Ray Holt's like another success.
I can't believe it.
Spinning those plates.
And at the party, you'll be there with me. No.
I'm very upset when that he's got his own way.
Of course he was.
It wouldn't end this way.
It just wouldn't ever happen.
No.
And when I'm on my way to school, I'll be glad that. Things are changing. This year will be nice. It's all because you followed my advice.
Thanks, Red Hawk. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get you, Jerry. I'm upstairs for school tomorrow.
Ha ha, Jerry.
Oh no. Vol.
Oh my god, what are they going to sing, these people?
Luther it has been refuted.
We have to make Turnip and Red Hawk avatars.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe he got away with it.
Oh.
That was so odd, D.
Really so odd. Yeah. I mean, because it wasn't a feature. I don't understand anything about it.
David Wechter. I'd like a background check on him, please.
Original orchestration and scoring by Julius Wechter.
Very interesting. Tell us about Jerry, then. Tell us about Jerry.
So Jerry is one of the only people from this film that actually went on to have a career. His name is P. David Ebersole. And along with his husband, Todd Hughes,
yes,
he made a film called Room 237, which is a film that I've seen, which is a documentary about various people's theories about The Shining.
Right.
It's quite a well-known film, actually. It's a very, very interesting documentary that sort of really sort of revived interest in the kind of esoteric undertones of The Shining. So, so that was him, which I had no idea.
Yeah, and there's Paula Abdul, of course.
Yeah, and Paula Abdul, yeah. He's produced and directed a few things. But as far as I can tell, it's the only person other than Paula Abdul who went on to do anything else.
Why does that film exist?
Well, that's what I can't figure out, because, like I said, it's not a feature. I mean, it was certainly not meant to play in the cinema. It doesn't seem like something that would be made to show to school children, because it's quite dark and lewd, and, you know, I mean, like, they wouldn't make a film with a song called Itty Bitty Titty Committee and show it in schools, and certainly not in the 70s.
It's extremely extremely odd.
Like where would that have been shown? I mean, you know, this was in the days where if you made a film, I mean, it was either shown in a cinema or it was shown on television, and it wouldn't have been shown in either place. So I don't know. I don't know why that exists, actually.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time.
I can't believe we watched the entirety of that film.
We weren't planning on watching it all, but it was so bizarre.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to change the title to 1948 to 1978. We're not going to make it to the 80s today.
78, no. Well, we've still got a whole batch, so we may return to this someday.
Yes, there have been a couple of super chats which we need to do before I skedaddle.
By the way, before you go, the other person who has other credits beside this was the orchestrator Julius Wechter, who composed a song for Herb Alpert and also did vibraphone and marimba work for the Beach Boys and Sonny and Cher and the Monkees and Phil Spector and such. So,
now probably more people have seen that film than on its original release, I'd imagine.
I'm sure they have.
So Hugh James says, AA, one of your prophecies might be coming true regarding the plant-based meat subsidies trend, i.e. Beyond Meat. Big L for Globo Homo. Article link in the next Super Chats. And the veggie bubble is turning to veggie bust. And this is an article in the Telegraph basically talking about how, investment is draining away from Beyond Meat and the share prices are going down, etc. So, good. I'm glad. Bailey O. Bradley says, it would be interesting if you could do a stream with Steve Saylor as a guest, a conversation of dissident politics then, early 2000s versus now. He used to bring up concepts on the right that most writers weren't doing. Yes, Eunuch says, not half, first of two. The 1950s woman companion film is proof of what I've claimed on this channel many times. This was after the anti-whites long march through the institutions and 1950s propaganda enforced the communism tailored for Americans. Notice the absence of religion, extended family, large numbers of children, and genuine community. Only small family units for optimal productivity and consumption. Agree with that, Dee?
No. I mean, I think there's parts of that are true, but I think that, you know, I think different people took the reins at a certain point. And I do think the kind of the tenor and sort of strategies did obviously change. I do think that there was of course, that this sort of push towards the optimized worker, you know, the optimized kind of unit for industrial production was probably a part of it. But I think that a lot of those trends have been happening on their own with urbanization, industrialization, which may have been pushed by, unnaturally by certain forces. I don't know. But I think it's a bit too simple, you know. But I certainly think that sort of aspect of that is true.
All right. So, incidentally, I've just seen that my interview with Lions of Liberty, which I did last week, has just been released to the public. I will release that on my community tab after this stream. I'll put it on there now, so people can listen to that. It's called Academic Agent on Elite Theory and Pro Wrestling. So there we go. SNGB says every D stream is an A stream. Years the Eunuch says the 1960 videos was heartbreaking. It shows the first decade that was a fully Jewish America. The age of Moloch began before our parents were born, and we truly live in the ashes. You may be interested in a book years called The Jewish Decade, which is all about the 1960s, written by a Jewish guy, basically taking quote unquote credit for the decade. So I would you can get that on YouTube, on Amazon. It's an interesting read. Jacob said, I had to tab away once we got to the girls' locker room song. That whole video was a Genesis 6-6 moment. So there we go. What are they called? The Itty Bitty Titty
Committee. And someone has pointed out that perhaps a strange coincidence, Count Dankula made a tweet that went sort of viral with the words Itty Bitty Titty Committee in it, just like last week or this week. Very strange.
Then over on the main super chats, C123C says, AA, what do you think about Inside Llewyn Davis? Inside Llewyn Davis, is that a film? I haven't seen that, I don't think. If it's a film, I haven't seen it. No, I haven't. It's a Coen Brothers movie, isn't it? I did do an entire Coen Brothers watch through at some point, but I don't think I made it to Inside Llewyn Davis. JD says, AA and D, would you have Fenn de Villiers on? I don't know who that is, JD.
Fenn de Villiers is a sculptor who is sort of around these circles. I interact with him on Twitter. You know, he's sort of within these circles, and he does sort of neo Art Deco futurist sort of figurative sculpture. Very interesting fellow. And I think Farrow just did a stream interviewing him. Certainly.
I mean,
he was on Farrow's channel last night. Yeah.
If you want to talk about sculpture, I don't know anything about sculpture. The tall and short of my knowledge is that I know Donatello was one.
You know, he was also a Ninja Turtle. Yeah,
exactly. And I know most of what I know about art from the Ninja Turtles. Fishy Frenzy says, "Does the body rule the mind, or does the mind rule the body?"
Does
I don't know.
Body rule the mind.
I don't know. Yeah. Time Stealer, is this actually an ad for Red Hawk Substack? Yeah, it was like a 35 minute ad for Red Hawk. His tactics work, essentially. So that is it. As far as the super chats go. So
that was Colonel Crayon says that he's just sent an entry chat.
Okay.
And Years was laughing at it, so it may be good. I don't know.
I purchased Shakespeare's Moral Compass from Amazon and received an empty box. Also, some ghastly Iranian woman has driven up the price of Mosca and Prato's books. I may soon be bankrupt. I do know Mosca's ruling class goes for as much as £1,500 on Amazon these days. So, I got mine when it was affordable, but then I made it unaffordable, pulling up the drawbridge, thereby pushing people to buy Populist Delusion because they can't read the original.
Yeah, you can't get the original anymore. What does it feel like to have such power, AA?
I've yet to really figure out how the prices work on the secondhand book market of Amazon. They seem to be incredibly random. But anyway, I have to dash to try to I have to drive back now to go and spend Mrs. AA is going out essentially, so I have to be there while AAA is there because I'll be babysitting. I'm gonna have to leave now to beat the traffic essentially. So, and hopefully not crash through sneezing and coughing. So, thank you very much, everyone. I enjoy doing this. And I think we could, try to finish these up at some point, D, where, do another little filler episode like this when the time comes. We're gearing up for Bowie and Kubrick, but it's probably. I mean, I wanted to start next week, but we'll see about that.
We'll see. There's another stream that I actually wanted to do today, but I'd like to do a little more preparation that's sort of related to painting and art that I think people might enjoy. So that'll come up at some point.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Buy the book, join the channel, buy a mug. Dee, anything you want to show?
Just join us for the incredibly popular internet show Unpopular Opinions tomorrow with guest panelists. I don't know.
Maven is announcing the.
Oh, not again. Yeah, he's not again.
He's announcing the lineup, the speaker lineup. Because this year people had to kind of write proposals, and now he's announcing who's actually been chosen.
Okay.
That will happen tomorrow.
Plus, I want to have words with Maven about his ill-informed opinion about the Beatles.
Yes, but also, of course, we have to discuss Roe v. Wade.
Roe v. Wade? That's so last week.
Well, I mean, I said I'd discuss it, so right. It shouldn't be that difficult. We should have a Yankee Doodle on.
Semigog was said that he wanted to come on. I don't know if that's...
Make it Semigog.
Does he count?
He counts as an American.
I mean, he's an international man of mystery.
Yeah, he would balk at being called a Yankee Doodle, of course, because he's a Southern
indeed.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Now get up.